Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. And your brain masseur, get ready for your brain massage. Now, folks, bear with me. I got something of a cold here. My voice is a little off. Evangelist Dave McCracken is going to be speaking from the Lighthouse pulpit beginning January the 8th through the 11th. That's Sunday through Wednesday, and you're invited. Sunday schedule is unchanged, 9:30 for Bible study, 10:45 for morning service, 5 p.m. for evening service, and then Monday through Wednesday we'll assemble at 7 p.m. We turn our attention to the ongoing Holocaust of the unborn in January. So let's get updated on what's happening on that front in our culture war. Many will think it's odd, perhaps, that a Catholic diocese in eastern France would punish a priest who reminded his parishioners that abortion has taken more human life than died in World War I, with current estimates ranging in the 42 million babies murdered across the world every year. The consequences of killing the conscience, something we should talk about. Should we expect COVID-23 or 24? Gates thinks so, and in fact, he is sponsoring another event, 201, like Crisis Planning Simulation. This one's called Catastrophic Contagion. Warning, the next pandemic can be society-ending. Will they bring back lockdowns, masks, and forced vaccinations? What's going on in Orange County with the $78 million quarantine camps being built on 10 acres of the former El Toro Marine Base? If I have time, I want to provide an update on the war to preserve the people's right of consent, the effort to restore election integrity in America. Okay, my friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
The consequences of killing the conscience. You know, God warns about this. We ask, how can these children of disobedience lie, you know, without any conscience, apparently? How can they go so arrogantly forward with their lies, dismissing hard facts? You know, they're staring them in the face and go on with their lies so blatantly, one feels the force of evil itself expressed through them. I mean, they without so much as a blush of conscience, much less the galling pricks of natural conscience that would make it difficult for most of us to live so comfortably with lies. Well, anyway, God warned about this. He warned of those who would speak, quote, lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, end quote. Now, God graciously provided two warning signs or marks by which we can identify these people. It is when they attempt to destroy marriage with their lies and tell us we cannot eat meat. Now, this offers some insight into how it is children of disobedience so easily accept the lies of gender confusion, same-sex marriage, destroying the foundation of social order that is provided by marriage. And those who are ready to eat Bill's bugs or his lab-created meat. I mean, it's what the Spirit said expressly. People will depart from the faith. And you probably know, if not, you will. Faith as a noun speaks to that body of faith given to us in the Bible, the Word of God. And Jesus said, thy word is truth. Now, men are turning their backs on truth today and embracing the most nonsensical rubbish imaginable. They're speaking lies and hypocrisy. And they can do this with such aplomb, it's shocking, with no compunctions whatever. And that is because their conscience is seared with a hot iron. The word translates into the phrase seared with a hot iron is a Greek term that means to cauterize or brand. Our farmers know about branding. Putting a mark of ownership on the hide of a cattle, you know, with a branding iron. Those whose conscience has been branded with Satan's branding iron and cauterized have killed their natural sensitivity to right and wrong. that was given to them at conception, when God gave that measure of faith that's spoken of in Romans 12:3 to every man. Natural man has a conscience, an innate knowledge that it's wrong to lie, to murder, to cheat, to steal, to destroy. Even a natural man like Saul found it hard to kick against the pricks of his conscience. And Cornelius, though natural before he was saved, was moved by conscience to do many good things for his neighbors and family. A natural man has a conscience that condemns him when he offends and approves him when he does right. You can read Romans 2 to get more insight into all that. And so we find that people struggle with guilt, shame, and even remorse when their conscience condemns them. And a healthy conscience will often respond to appeals of the conscience, bringing the offender to confession and repentance. But what happens when the natural facility of human nature is destroyed, or that natural facility? What happens when our conscience no longer sounds the alarm of warning to our soul? When Satan puts his brand on your conscience and sears it, that makes these children of disobedience much more useful because then their own sensitivities and natural resistance to certain evils, they're all gone. And there's nothing to interfere with him when he wants to use them in this world to open the doors to much evil. The conscience is seared when we act boldly in direct contradiction to what we know is right. Sometimes one horrible deed will deaden the conscience, but usually it requires a repetition of a variety of sinful acts to finally sear the conscience with the devil's brand. There has been a searing of the conscience of almost every American to one degree or another. Now let's consider the ongoing Holocaust of the unborn. God speaks of those mothers whose conscience can become so dull, they can forget or abandon their own sucking child. They can even feed on their own sucking child. That's Isaiah 49 and in Jeremiah. Growing up, I saw many pregnant mothers delighting in the movement of the babe in her womb, glowing in the expectation of the coming birth of their child. I was the first of five, so I saw some of this. But once, and thankfully only once, I saw some other mother with child beat on her belly in an attempt to kill the fruit of her womb. Now, what do you think about somebody like that? I know what you would have thought of it years ago. What do you think of it now? Abortion was not legal then, but she succeeded in murdering her baby. That woman had unnatural affections. Her conscience was seared. It was an appalling thing to see. Hiring someone else to butcher the baby is not more civilized. There are serious consequences of killing the conscience. It sets one free from the natural restraints that would withhold us from opening the door of hell to all evils. It never is, by the way, satisfied to stop at some one level of tolerance of evil. Evil will always challenge you to take another step in the direction of the branding booth, right? Another act contrary to your conscience, and another, until you no longer feel the pricks of conscience and can do yet more heinous, filthy, horrid acts without disturbing your conscience. Until finally you just become a tool of destruction for your own and the souls of those you influence. Any soul that can't accept the idea of murdering babies in the wombs of their mothers has deadened their conscience, and it will numb them till they are able to accept other offenses to the natural sensitivities of our conscience. And finally, the conscience comes to be branded by Satan, if you will. I mean, his mark of ownership is printed on it. And he can use you then to do all sorts of wicked things with abandon. That's something Himmler and Hitler understood. They needed a special enforcement agency that was answerable exclusively to them and that would be willing to do things that are, well, unconscionable. Torture, brutal rape of a wife before her husband. These are the sorts of things these guys did. Yeah, Himmler and Hitler needed to strike fear in the soul of any who saw the black uniformed SS come to their door. And so they pondered how to create such an army of soldiers who would act without conscience and understood that they needed to get these young German men to act contrary to their conscience. So they required these young recruits. I mean, it's similar to a gang initiation that requires a new member to murder a child, some crazy thing like that, or rip up some woman. Something really bad in order that the gang might then own them and control them. They would take homosexuals to concentration camps while actually encouraging sodomy among these SS troops. Yeah, it was, I understand, very, very prominent in that group. Why? Because this breaks down their natural resistance to evil. It distorts their values, and it brands their conscience with the devil's hot iron. Himmler, with Hitler's approval, worked to separate these recruits from their Christian roots, alienate them from their family and their friends, isolate them spiritually, emotionally, intellectually from their own values, and then physically from any support outside of the SS fraternity. Reports have revealed bizarre occult rituals intended to break down resistance to doing unimaginable evils that might come from a natural conscience or from their early childhood training in Christian values and morals. You see, Hitler and Himmler needed a soldier that would do absolutely anything, no matter how vile, no matter how evil. Like rounding up Jews, herding them onto cattle cars, transporting them to the camps, gathering them into showers, turning on the acid showers that killed them in masses, and carry the bodies to furnaces and cast them into the burning flame. You see, a special sort of soldier was needed, willing to carry out such horrible orders. And they knew just how to create such monsters, manipulate them, command them, tempt them, whatever it takes, blackmail them if necessary, get them to violate their conscience, to do what is reprehensible to them, to their own conscience, in order that they might kill their conscience. This preparation began in their schooling, where Christianity was mocked and dismissed. I mean, biblical Christianity and occult symbolism. One wrote about this under the title Hitler's Cross. The swastika, for example, the Iron Cross that was used to supplant the traditional meaning of the cross in Germany. Hitler and his Jesuit-like priest, Himmler, virtually replaced Christ's cross with Hitler's and compelled churches all over Germany, I mean, to virtually kneel to Hitler's cross and repudiate Christ as Lord with their Heil Hitler, meaning Hail Hitler, with a twist. Included in the nuanced meaning of the expression Hail Hitler is the idea of salvation through Hitler. And referring to him as Der Führer, literally praised him as the Father. Now, we see the same sort of indoctrination occurring in America today. It's not exactly step-by-step in parallel, but it's very close. Our children's conscience is defiled almost daily. Their sense of right and wrong is distorted unnaturally by the imposition of the LGBTQ agenda, demanding they surrender their personal autonomy to the collective, the state, abandoning their conscience for the mandates of the state, alienating them from one another and their parents through this mass thing and other policies, and any influence. They want to separate them from any influence their Christian of their Christian past, destroying all their traditions, connecting them to their Christian heritage, and practically forcing them to identify with new traditions that are associated with paganism or the occult. If you ever wondered how the Germans allowed this to happen, you know, look around you. Many of those listening to me should go take a long look at the mirror and ask, what have you done to contribute to the decay of Christian morality and values in this country? All right, now I got some interesting insights that come out of this in the next segment, so hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
For many years, Satan had Christians deceived into believing they were not supposed to speak up on social or political issues. We bought the lie that we had no say, that the world belonged to Satan, and that we had no right to impose our morality onto others. This ruse worked so well that today the secularists impose their morality on all of us. Christians are being systematically pushed to the sidelines and denied their divinely endowed inalienable rights. This book exposes Satan's lies and shows the truth that the earth belongs to Jesus Christ, not Satan. In fact, Satan has no legitimate right to rule the earth. It belongs to the King, and his name is Jesus. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march. It's an enemy that is in the process right now of attempting to steal from us our liberties. Someone, I think her name is Peggy Hall, she runs a blog video operation thing, keeping people up to speed on what's going down. She asked, where are the modern-day Nazis going to get the people that will round up their fellow Americans by force, tearing them away from their families and homes, and hailing them off to some concentration camp where they will be re-educated and that failing perhaps used for experimentation, for the good of the collective, you know? Where will you find people so calloused, so void of any even natural flicker of conscience, who would be willing to openly violate the Constitution and knowingly do this, and violate and encroach upon the inalienable rights of their fellow Americans, and act contrary to the law of our land, and go about to, well, raid the private residence of an American under the color of law? Where are you going to find people like that? Where are you going to find some Capitol Police officer who would open fire, upon the illegal and immoral orders of superiors and kill a young lady, and unarmed, by the way, and shoot her dead right there in the Capitol? Where do you find people like that? Where do these sorts of people come from? Now, of course, I elaborated on the question, obviously, but that's pretty much what Peggy Hall was talking about. But you get the idea. Where will the deep state find the sort of people that will buy the lie that patriots who love God and country, you know, those Obama vilified as God and gun clingers, or those that Hillary called the deplorables, those who refuse to accept the mind control games they're playing? Can you believe it? Trying to get us to accept the idea that a man can get pregnant. Really? Or have a menstrual cycle. Give me a break. This is foolishness. Or call himself a woman, enter female competition, and everyone stands around applauding when he wins? Excuse me? Somebody please holler out, the king has no clothes. This is crazy. And they're preparing to call us insane, right? And they're preparing to call us unfit for society. And after they've fitted their version of the yellow band on all our arms, they will send out their armies to arrest and haul to prison people whose only crime, really, is refusing to say 2 + 2 = 5, all right? Refusing to deny reality, refusing to let go of their grip on sanity, reason. Like Orwell's Ministry of Love, you know, where those refusing to accept the party line were sent to have the last vestiges of rational thought destroyed and pummeled out of them, where O'Brien finally beat Winston down to say 2 + 2 = 5. And not just say it. No, he kept that. That wasn't enough. He kept at him until finally Winston believed it. Where will the deep state find people willing to haul innocent citizens into prison because they refuse to say 2 + 2 = 5? California is gearing up for an all-out war on pro-life advocates. Did you know that? Most of whom are reality-based people in our society who refuse to allow them to convince us, contrary to science, to believe the baby in the womb 1 hour from birth is in any way less human than the baby at birth, or a few minutes after, or an hour, or 2 hours, or 5 days, or 50 years. Who tell us 2 + 2 = 5, and we mean it. And a human at conception is not human, but an eaglet in the egg is an eagle. That a boy can be a girl can be a boy, merely by making these words have zero meaning with any reference to something in reality. We say, no, 2 + 2 does not equal 5. I don't care how much you try to beat your nonsense into our reasoned minds, we're not going to let reason collapse and make room for this foolishness. You're the crazy people. Either that or you're just pure evil. We're not going to join you in your loss of sanity and your imbecility. And we are not joining in your defiance of Christ as Lord. We're not going to rail against his bands and cords. We will stay here upon this rock of truth while you busy yourself making castles of sand. As you know, California passed Proposition 1. We have two problems with our election system. One of them is that it's rigged against the people of the state, so we have a selection day instead of election day, or week. The other one is that the free flow of information in this country, and especially in California, is controlled by our own Goebbels Ministry of Pravda. So the electorate does not have, listen, the privilege of full and informed consent to these bills. Even if the elections weren't rigged, we're not given the opportunity to make a fully informed decision. Truth is obfuscated by these wicked people through deceitful language and outright lies. For example, California, did you know, voted to change the constitution of the state? Now, let's just start right there. Most of you probably were not aware of that. Some of you were, but I dare say many who voted for it were not aware they were actually voting to change the constitution of the state. Did you know Proposition 1 has language that allows, for example, a 12-year-old to have, let's just say, reproductive relations with her friend's daddy, exercising her rights, you know, under Prop 1 that allow any person, any individual to freely exercise their reproductive rights. So this 12-year-old gets pregnant. Yes, girls as young as 10 years old have been known to become pregnant. So this 12-year-old gets pregnant while exercising her reproductive rights. And then upon discovery of this, she goes to the school nurse to confirm and arranges for an abortion. And all of this without parental knowledge or consent. And also, because of Prop 1, provisions against questioning the death of a baby, perinatal, which means after birth, if that baby survives a botched abortion, the doctor can smother it or just let it die. Or actually, as bizarre as it might sound, it isn't so bizarre at all when you consider the likes of Monster Klopfer, the so-called doctor who collected more than 2,400 murdered babies in his garage, keeping some of them in his car. So one of these 2+2=5 types delivers the baby alive, decides to murder the child in cold blood in order to add to his collection, and nobody knows any different. He just reports the baby died from complications occurring in utero. And then, in that case, no one is allowed to even question him or investigate. You can't investigate. And if you dare even suggest an investigation, you will become the target of an investigation and incarceration, and or you'll be fined. I think it's $25,000. I think it's $25,000. Though this wicked law opens, did you know you voted for that, by the way? This wicked law opens the door to pedophilia, incest, all sorts of crazy things. And when those who crafted and supported the law are challenged with these questions, their voice, the questioner, is squelched, ridiculed, set aside, dismissed. But otherwise, they don't have any answers. They won't answer these questions. So who among my fellow Californians voted for this atrocious bill? Frankly, I cannot find, have not found a single one who will say they knowingly gave their consent to this evil bill. Not one. Maybe that chick I saw holding a sign that said fetus equal tasty treat, you know, 2+2=5? Yeah, let me ask you, my fellow Californians, is that what you voted for when you approved Prop 1? Yeah, that's what I thought. You didn't really know what was going on. You didn't look into this. You didn't get informed. You did not give full and informed consent because the truth about all this was kept from you. You see, if your vote even mattered, it always matters to vote, even if they won't count it. They're stealing your voice. Don't hand it to them. Don't make them steal it. If they don't answer to God now, they will soon enough. I'm coming to the end of my time with you today, so I'll address the next topic Saturday night during Comforting Counsel for the Present Distress. Here's the address to find us on Facebook in my notes. If you go to brainmassage.net and click the subscribe free button in the menu to receive my show in your inbox when posted, you'll get access to my notes also. Now, one more news flash for my California patriots. And we are here, and we're getting louder every day. Nicole Pearson is an attorney who represents the patriot cause, let's say. I checked this out, this story I'm going to relate to, and she's right on. She raised alarms about a $78 million public health facility that's being built in Irvine, California, on 10 acres of the property once occupied by our Marines on the El Toro base. She's been fighting the clot shot. Yeah, Pfizer has admitted the shot has been known to cause clots. The suddenly died syndrome, right, is clearly related to the rollout of the vaccines, and she's fighting all that. At least someone should stop this nonsense and look at it. Some guy comes along and tries to tell us artificial sweeteners, that's what's responsible for all the suddenly dead stories. Excuse me? You got to be kidding me. But here's a story out of Orange County talking about the new sprawling health facility that's to be built at a cost of $78 million federal tax dollars. Are you ready for this? Along a railway. Only a 20-minute walk from the train station or a 10 to 15-minute forced march. Such preparations are going on all around the nation. Maybe they plan to build some tracks that just carry you right on into the facility compound. It's about COVID, you see, this construct. It's about preparations for the next pandemic. The one that Gates said could end society. The one he's planning for right now with his catastrophic contagion simulations. Remember Event 201? That was dress rehearsal. Friend, here comes the actual play, the movie. The language is vague as to its purpose. This facility, when asked for clarity, well, they get cagey. It's funded by federal coronavirus dollars, and they are in a hurry to get it built and in service before the next election. Getting ready for the next pandemic. Now, what's the relationship between the next pandemic and the next election? What do you think? The entire complex is to be fenced in with security fencing. What? Really? What buildings do you know in America, federal buildings or city buildings, whatever, that are fenced in with security fencing? The World Economic Forum is talking about providing a place for those who require mental health. And they are laying the foundations to declare God-fearing patriots as mentally ill. These developments are very concerning, and you need to be at the Lighthouse this Sunday to pray with us about this matter and get some insight into what can be done. Well, I must conclude my show today. I'm already running late with my posting. Yikes. Friend, I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website at brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net. Find the contact button and send me an email. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline, 805-314-2114. And by the way, I'm having some problems with my website sending emails. So if you get an error message, you just text me directly and use jscheidbach@me.com. That's the letter J, my last name, S-C-H-E-I-D-B-A-C-H @me.com. And let me know that's happening to you. We're getting some reports along those lines. God bless you, my dear friends. Did I mention my hotline? Yes, you can call in your thoughts and questions or whatever at 1-805-314-2114. It's also a good place to let me know you're having trouble with our website. God bless you. God bless America. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
For many years, Satan had Christians deceived into believing they were not supposed to speak up on social or political issues. We bought the lie that we had no say, that the world belonged to Satan, and that we had no right to impose our morality onto others. This ruse worked so well that today the secularists impose their morality on all of us. Christians are being systematically pushed to the sidelines and denied their divinely endowed inalienable rights. This book exposes Satan's lies and shows the truth that the earth belongs to Jesus Christ, not Satan. In fact, Satan has no legitimate right to rule the earth. It belongs to the King, and his name is Jesus. Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.